Govina, Radhika Ramana.
Sri Lalita Madhava, Act 10, All Desires Are Fulfilled. Two girls enter. Tulsi says, "Friend Malati, has the good news entered the pathway of your ears?" Malati answers, "Friend Tulsi, what news?" Tulsi responds, "With her relatives and Nanda, the king of Braj, noble Purnamasi has come to Saurashtra province." Malati very blissfully says, "Oh, I will go to Madhavi courtyard and tell Radha the good news." Tulsi says, "Oh, pious girl, Radha isn't at Madhavi courtyard." Malati asks, "Then where is she?" Tulsi replies, "On the day Radha and Krishna looked at pictures, Queen Rukmini noticed signs of conjugal pastimes on Radha's body. Rukmini brought her into the palace and cruelly teased her." Malati asks, "What did she say to tease her?" Tulsi replies, "She said, 'I think these wounds on your breasts and lips were made by parrots that thought your breasts pomegranates and your lips bimba fruits. I think your jewel necklace must have been broken by peacocks who thought it a snake. Oh, sister, your stain in the forest brings great pain to my heart.'" Malati says, "Let her laugh. Satyabhama may be in a subordinate position, still she is more fortunate." Tulsi says, "You speak the truth. Look, look. The thousand rays of light from his Kastuba jewel eclipsing the thousand rays of the sun, Lord Krishna stands in the rear of the palace. He plans a meeting with Radha. Let us go to our garden." And they exit. Accompanied by the buffoon Madhumangal, who carries a golden rod where a parrot is perched, Lord Krishna enters. Krishna, filled with longing, says, "Although she is inflamed with love for me, because she is imprisoned by Queen Rukmini, my beloved cannot dispel the darkness of my heart. She is like a burning lamp covered by a pot and thus unable to light up the house." Madhumangal says, "Oh, don't speak so loudly. Queen Rukmini's servants are everywhere." Krishna says, "Friend Kastuba, your shining may alert Rukmini's maidservants to my presence here. For now, please do not shine so brightly." Navavrinda enters and says, "My lord, Queen Rukmini has sent me." Krishna says, "Navavrinda, what is it?" Navavrinda says, "For the king of parrots." Krishna says, "Friend, give the king of parrots." Madhumangal places the rod with the parrot in Navavrinda's hand. Krishna, filled with longing, says, "My beloved Radha is known in this place as Satyabhama, the daughter of King Satyajit. Her limbs are splendid, beautiful, and fragrant. Her cheeks are illumined by the splendor of her earrings. O Navavrinda, my heart yearns to see her." Navavrinda says, "My lord, this desire will be very difficult to fulfill. Cheated so many times, Queen Rukmini has become a very careful student of the art of palace intrigue. Professing great love, she has made Satyabhama like her own shadow." Madhumangal says, "Amazing! This Kastuba jewel is so restless that even though you restrain him, he still insists on illuminating the palace." Krishna says, "Friend, this is not the effulgence of the Kastuba jewel. Why rebuke him?" Navavrinda says, "Noble Madhumangal, this is Satyabhama's friend Pingala coming with the Shyamantaka jewel." Pingala enters. Pingala shyly glances at Krishna and says, "My lord, King Satyajit sends this regal jewel to Princess Satyabhama." Krishna says, placing the jewel over his heart, and then he becomes joyful, "Ah, now the touch of the friend of my beloved gives me the way to meet her." Madhumangal asks, "How is that?" Krishna answers, "I will disguise myself as a girl and carry the jewel walking behind Pingala. I will worship Queen Rukmini, and with her permission, I will spend the night giving pleasure to doe-eyed Radha." Navavrinda says, "In truth, it will be very difficult for her to understand this trick." Krishna says, "Navavrinda, it is almost sunset. You go to the inner rooms of the palace. I will go to a secluded place and disguise myself as a woman." Accompanied by the two of them, he exits. Thank you. Navarinda Walking says, accompanied by her attendants and her right side decorated with Satyabhama, Queen Rukmini has now entered the jeweled palace. In that way, Chandravali enters. Chandravali, with a playful smile, says, friend Satyabhama, in this place I have treated you with friendship and great respect. Why have you become unhappy as a doe, always remembering the happiness of staying in the wildflower gardens of the forest? Note, if the word Vanamala is interpreted to mean Lord Krishna who wears a garland of forest flowers, this statement may be interpreted to mean, friend Satyabhama, in this place I have treated you with friendship and great respect. Why have you become unhappy as a doe-like girl, always remembering the happiness of staying with Krishna, who wears a garland of forest flowers? Radha, with a meaningful laugh, says, my queen, here I am with all happiness. Why should I desire wild flowers? Note, as in the previous verse, the word Vanamala may be interpreted as a name of Lord Krishna, in which case the statement may be interpreted, my queen, here I am filled with all happiness. Why should I desire Lord Krishna? Navavrinda approaches and says, my queen, this is the king of parrots you heard about brought here from the country of Kamarupa. Chandravali joyfully says, I am very pleased. He is handsome indeed. Navavrinda says, my queen, he is very intelligent and well-behaved also. Chandravali says, servant, make the king of parrots happy with pomegranate fruit. Servant, as the queen orders, and he exits with the parrot. Followed by Pingala and Lord Krishna, who is disguised as a woman, Madhu Mangal enters. Madhu Mangal Walking says, my queen, Maharaj Satyajit sends these two girls to present the Shaimantaka jewel to Satyabhama. Chandravali, looking at Krishna, says to herself, how beautiful she is. Openly, she says, who is this beautiful, dark-complexioned girl whose splendor makes this entranceway seem to be made of sapphires? Navavrinda says, my queen, this is a very fortunate girl, Ratangi. She is Satyabhama's friend. Radharani recognizes Krishna and smiles. Madhavi says, noble Madhu Mangal, this dark-complexioned girl veils her face even here in the women's quarters of the palace. Why is she so shy? Pingala replies, she is naturally very shy. Navavrinda, glancing at Queen Rukmini, says, although she is very eager to speak, friend Ratangi is shy to speak in your presence. Satyabhama is also very eager to associate with her friend Ratangi, so please send them both to the Golden Palace, and there they may talk in private. Chandravali says, friend Satyabhama, please go to the Golden Palace and embrace Ratangi. Radharani smiles, and she says, as the queen orders, accompanied by both Lord Krishna and her own associates, she exits. Chandravali says, Madhavi, I heard that my sister Radha has a great jewel brilliant as the sun. A voice from behind the scenes says, quoting Krishna's speech previously, although she is inflamed with love for me, because she is imprisoned by Queen Rukmini, my beloved cannot dispel the darkness of my heart. She is like a burning lamp covered by a pot and thus unable to light up the house. Chandravali, glancing in the direction of behind the scenes, what is the parrot saying? A voice from behind the scenes, quoting Krishna's speech previously, says, my beloved Radha is known in this palace as Satyabhama, the daughter of King Satyajit. Her limbs are splendid, beautiful, and fragrant. Her cheeks are illuminated by the splendor of her earrings. O Navavrinda, my heart yearns to see her. Chandravali, unhappy, says, aha, I have heard exactly what I needed to hear. Again from behind the scenes, quoting Krishna's speech previously, I will disguise myself as a girl and carry the jewel walking behind Pingala. I will worship Queen Rukmini, and with her permission, I will spend the night giving pleasure to doe-eyed Radha. Chandravali says, Madhavi, did you hear that? Madhavi says, not only heard, I have also seen. Chandravali says, as long as Satyabhama stays in this palace, how can there be any good for me? Ah, by some intrigue, I must send her to the palace of the king of Kundina. Madhavi says, "The princess has spoken well." Chandravali says, "Ah, this is great skill in the art of deception. Even though we are not easily deceived, still we were deceived. Come, let us go to the golden palace," and she exits. Krishna and Radha, who is accompanied by her associates, enters. Krishna says blissfully, "O beautiful one, open these eyes that fill the restless Chikora birds with wonder. Give me the nectar of this smile that eclipses the sweetness of the moon." Radha says, embarrassed, "My handsome one, why speak these words? Your love exists only in your mouth." In Sanskrit, she says, "The great dindim drum of your love for me used to fill the entire world with wonder. Now that same drum is silent." Krishna says, "Beloved, don't say that. My dear girl with the fascinating eyes, even if I'm attacked by many beautiful eyebrowed girls who are expert archers with their restless, crooked, sidelong glances, how can I find happiness for even a moment without you? I cannot. I am like the sky. Even if the moonlight and all the stars try to illuminate the sky, it never becomes really bright until it is filled with sunlight. In the same way, it is not possible for me to come bright with happiness without you." Note, the word Vrishabhanuja means both sunlight and Radha, the daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Somabha means both star and the gopi named Tara. For this reason, the last two lines of this stanza contain a hidden meaning. They may also be interpreted as meaning, "Neither Chandravali, Tara, nor their intimate friends can make me happy without the presence of Radha, the beautiful daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu." Navarinda says, "Girl with the beautiful face, this is not empty flattery." Krishna says, "Beloved, as I gaze at your face, no simile to compare you to anything else has the power to rise in my heart. The lotus flower is not worthy to be placed at your feet. The jeweled mirror is not equal to the nail of your big toe. O passionate one, even a splendid host of moons is not qualified to perform arti to your face." Note, if the word Chandravali is interpreted to be a proper name, the last sentence of this verse may be understood to mean, "O passionate one, even beautiful Chandravali is not qualified to perform arti to your face." This reference to Chandravali is a harbinger that announces her appearance in the next moment. Accompanied by Madhavi, Chandravali enters. Chandravali says, "Madhavi, did you hear that?" Madhavi says, "Yes." Krishna, looking ahead, says, "Look, look, Queen Rukmini is not far away." Everyone respectfully stands up. Chandravali approaches and says, "Ah, Satyabhama, I have come to see the wonderful regal jewel your father Satyajit sent you." Navarinda takes the jewel from Krishna's hand and shows it to Chandravali. Chandravali says, "I heard this king of jewels appeared from the churning of the milk ocean." Madhubangal says, "It was like that." Chandravali says, "At that time another wonderful thing also appeared." Navarinda asks, "My queen, what was that?" Chandravali says, "When the demigods forcibly took the pot of nectar from Dhanvantari's hand, my noble husband appeared in the unprecedented form famous by the name Mohini." Krishna aside says, "Queen Rukmini recognized me. That is why she is suddenly talking about Mohini." Chandravali says, "The word Mohini means enchanting. Her name is very appropriate, for she completely enchanted even Lord Shiva, the king of the yogis. If she enchanted him, then how can we describe her power to enchant us?" Everyone, aside, says, "How did Queen Rukmini learn this secret?" Chandravali, with a smile, says, "Friend Satyabhama, is there some way we can see this form of Mohini?" With knitted eyebrows, Radha angrily glances at Krishna. Krishna, aside, says, "In truth, these words of deception are now useless." Openly, he says, "My queen, in order to test whether you would recognize me or not, I wore this disguise." Chandravali, with artificial respect, says, Oh, this is my noble husband," and then she bows her head. Madhumangal says, "Oh, dear friend, by recognizing you, our queen Rukmini has now defeated you. Now what has become of your pride of being so clever? Madhavi says, Noble Madhu Mangal, you have thrown a thunderbolt of Indra at a person already bitten by a poisonous black snake. Chandravali says, Foolish Madhavi, why are you so unhappy? This is a great festive occasion. You should drink the sweet nectar that is the handsomeness of Lord Krishna. Radha aside says, Alas, alas, now I must taste the suffering of being under the control of Queen Rukmini. Chandravali says, My lord, the foolish desire to see your Shyamantaka jewel has brought me to offend you. I am very unfortunate. Krishna says, My queen, scold me as much as you wish. Your mercy is my only shelter. A voice from behind the scenes says, quoting Krishna's speech previously, Aha! I have heard exactly what I need to hear. Madhu Mangal says, Parrot in the servant's hand recites these words. Krishna aside says, The intelligent parrot caused all this trouble. Again, the voice from behind the scenes, quoting Chandravali's previous speech, says, As long as Satyabhama stays in this palace, how can there be any good for me? Ah, by some intrigue, I must send her to the palace of the king of Kundina. Radha unhappily sighs and says to herself, Well done, O parrot! Well done, well done! I am indebted to you. Now I will enter Kaliya Lake, which fulfills even the most difficult desires, and there I will immediately present my body as a sacrificial offering to the snakes there. Accompanied by Navavrinda and Pingala, she exits. Chandravali asks, My lord, there is one thing I would like to ask. Krishna says, My queen, please order me as you wish. Chandravali says, My lord, by presenting so many obstacles to your enjoyment of pastimes, I have committed a great offense to you. Please be merciful to me. Please give me permission to live in Braj, the kingdom of Nanda Maharaj. By staying there, I will make you happy. A voice from behind the scenes says, Riding in the comfortable seat in the rear of a golden cart, surrounded by friends and relatives with Yashoda and Rohini at his right and left, and greedy to immediately embrace Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj, now enters the path that leads to the gates of Dwarka City. Krishna blissfully says, Friend, simply by Queen Rukmini's wishing, we have now attained both King Nanda and all his relatives. Come, let us go to them. They both exit. Chandravali says, Krishna's relatives have come at the perfect time. A voice from behind the scenes says, Surrounded by friends and with Purnamasi showing the way, Braj's queen, Yashoda, went to Rohini's palace. Madhavi says, How fortunate, how fortunate! Saintly Rohini has heard of your sufferings. Chandravali says, Let us go and offer respects to our elders. They walk. These are the inner rooms of Queen Rohini's palace. A voice from behind the scenes says, Ah, with the two streams flowing from both her eyes and breasts, Yashoda Devi, the beautiful wife of the king of the cowherds, lovingly bathes her son. Chandravali says, My noble husband is now seated on the lap of Gokula's queen Yashoda. Let me stand here for a moment. Yashoda, Purnamasi, Rohini, Mukara, and others enter. Yashoda, smelling Krishna's head and shedding tears, says, Oh, my son, you have forgotten me. For such a long time I have not seen you. Krishna, with tears, says, Mother, why do you speak in that way? I am already embarrassed. Why embarrass me more? Mukara says, O noble Purnamasi, even though I heard from you he is the master of millions of universes, still for me Krishna is the coward people's hero. Krishna smiles and says, Noble Mukara, your words go to my heart. Please bless me so that again I will be happy. Purnamasi says, After a long time the seed of my good fortune has finally sprouted. Today I have seen Lord Krishna seated on the lap of Mother Yashoda. Krishna says, Mother, do the animals and birds I used to feed and protect bring happiness to you now? Purnamasi says, Krishna, why do you speak the word happiness when the word you should speak is pain? Yashoda in Sanskrit says, You used to affectionately feed an orphaned fawn with overflowing pails of milk from the Surabhi cow Kapila. Unable to see you now, this deer is filled with anguish. He cries in all directions, and his sounds are like a tiger's roar striking the hearts of the people of Braj. Purnamasi says, O Krishna, O enemy of Kamsa, the people of Braj become filled with anguish when they see the peacocks that used to offer their feathers for your crown. Even now, when those peacocks see a dark rain cloud, they think of you, and they begin to dance, their hearts filled with joy. Krishna, after a moment's silence, says, O noble lady, are my friends well and happy? Purnamasi replies, Longing to see you, they have gone with Braja's King Nanda to the Sudharma assembly house. Please quickly go to them and fulfill all their desires. Krishna says, As the noble lady orders, he walks and then says to himself, Lalita and Padma will certainly come here to offer respects to Mother Yashoda. He then exits. Chandravali says, This is the opportunity to approach her, and she does that. Purnamasi with happiness says, O Queen of Braja, here is Chandravali. She approaches and embraces her with both arms. Yashoda affectionately says, My child, by my good fortune I can see you again. She places her arm around her neck. Chandravali offers respectful obeisances to Mother Yashoda and then begins to shed tears. Mother, who is more merciful than you? You gave me the great good fortune of touching your feet. Yashoda says, Child, have you forgotten our home in Gokula? Chandravali says, Mother, you are more affectionate to me than millions of mothers. What girl is so wretched she cannot remember the auspiciousness of the place where you live? Mukura, embracing Chandravali, says, O Radha, I have not seen you for such a long time. She cries with an open throat. Yashoda says, O Mother, why do you speak these two syllables, Radha? These syllables are two bolts that unlock the great city of suffering. Chandravali says, O Sister Radha, I am blind, I am wretched. Even once I did not recognize you. Rohini says, O child, O most beautiful girl in the three worlds, where did you go? Purnamasi says, Alas, only because I am hard as Indra's thunderbolt am I still alive. Rohini, with peaceful composure, says, Dear friend Yashoda, Chandravali is overcome with grief. Forget your own suffering and console her. Yashoda embraces Chandravali and says, Mother Chandravali, don't be unhappy. There is no remedy for this situation. Two servants enter, and then after a moment, Lalita and Padma enter. Padma, glancing to the left, she becomes filled with wonder. And then she says, Who is this girl? I have not seen anyone beautiful as she. I feel I have seen her before. She approaches and begins to shed tears. Oh, beautiful one, seeing you, I remember my dear friend Lalita, and I am overcome with love. Lalita says with a broken voice, Friend, are you Padma? Padma with emotion replies, Oh, are you Lalita? She embraces her with both arms. Lalita firmly embraces her and sheds tears and then says, Why was our dear friend Chandravali separated from you? Padma says, Friend, I am very unfortunate. Servant says, This is noble Rohini's palace. The two noble ladies may enter here. Both girls say, We have come to offer respects to Queen Rohini. Rohini says, Noble lady, who is this girl? She looks exactly like Lalita. Purnamasi, overcome with emotion, says, Ah, it is noble Lalita who is as dear to Radha as her own life. Everyone runs to her. Lalita says, Ah, how have Gokula's Queen Yashoda and all my other friends from Gokul come here? Crying, she falls at the tips of everyone's feet. Crying, everyone lifts her up, then they all embrace her neck. Chandravali says, Oh, friend Lalita, you are still alive. She embraces her. Lalita, with joy and wonder, says, Is this my friend, Chandravali? She embraces me. Meeting you with my friends and relatives from Gokula is finding a splendid Chintamani jewel in an ocean of nectar. Chandravali says, Lalita, you are my sister. Now I have found you. Lalita says, O friend Radha, I will no longer see you. She embraces Mukura and cries. Padma embraces Chandravali and says, O dear friend, I am so fortunate to see you. Purnamasi says, Look, as she embraces Padma, Rukmini melts with tears. Lalita says, struck with wonder, Noble lady, I have heard that Rukmini is in truth my dear friend Chandravali. Is it true? Purnamasi says, Yes. Lalita says, "Why did the sun god send the girl named Satyabhama here? Her sufferings are known to everyone." Purnamasi says, "My dear child Chandravali, from the mouth of Balaram's mother Rohini, we heard of your anxiety. Please don't be anxious." Yashoda says, "Child, you stand in place of Radha. Why should you be unhappy in our presence?" Chandravali says, "Friend Lalita, listen." And in Sanskrit she says, "The beautiful sight of Radha, which is more dear to me than my own life breath, does not for a moment enter the pathway of my eyes. Instead, the sight of another girl is my constant companion. The sight of this girl fills my heart with unbearable pain." Bakula hastily enters. Bakula says, "Although again and again I try to stop her, Satyabhama is now entering snake-infested Kaliya Lake." Purnamasi says, "Fortunately, the strong winds that bring pain to the lotus flowers have now entered the mouths of the snakes. The snakes are stopped." Bakula says, "I saw what happened. Navarinda told Krishna. Filled with anguish, Krishna followed her." Everyone says, "Why must we delay any longer? Let us go to this lake that is the home of snakes." Stumbling as they walk, they exit. Being appealed to by Pingala, Radha enters. Radha says in Sanskrit, "Because I am completely controlled by this woman, Krishna's company cannot bring any happiness. Why should I be afraid to be separated from Lord Krishna? At this moment, the only path I can take leads to death." Pingala says, "Princess, it is not proper for you to do this reckless act." Radha, with contempt, says, "Friend, tossed by great waves and filled with venomous, glistening black snakes, this Kaliya Lake eternally brings pleasure to my eyes." Her left eye trembles. She speaks the following rebuke in Sanskrit. "The wretched spider of my left eye trembles. That spider is now weaving a web of hope to trap the insect of my life." Pingala says, "This is a sign proclaiming all will be well. Please wait and stay alive a little longer." Note, for a woman, trembling of the left side of the body is considered a harbinger of good fortune. Radha says, "Why should I trust these sweet words of hope spoken by the monkey of my eyes?" She descends into the water. Accompanied by Navarinda, Krishna enters. Krishna says, "After a long separation, the bird of my life breath finally takes shelter in the dark shade of the fragrant vine of your body. Now you are throwing that delicate, slender vine into the blazing fire of the poison of these snakes. Oh, hard-hearted girl, why do you have not even the slightest fragment of mercy upon me?" He plunges into the lake. Navarinda says, "My lord, this king of jewels removes all inauspiciousness." She ties the jewel around Krishna's wrist. Radha says, "Alas, alas, even the snakes refuse to bite this wretched person." She follows the snakes. Krishna, hastily approaching, says, "Reckless girl, why have you done this inauspicious act?" From behind, he places both arms around her neck. Radha, overwhelmed with grief, she does not hear Krishna's words. She suddenly becomes joyful. "Now I am fortunate. Now two snakes have wrapped themselves around me." She becomes pleased by the touch of the snakes. At the right time, even the most harmful danger can be very pleasing. "The touch of these snakes brings me great pleasure. Now I touch the poisonous black snake. Now destiny is kind to me. Now all my sufferings will begin their journey to endless night." Note, if the word Krishna is interpreted to mean Lord Krishna, the verse may be interpreted, "Now I touch Lord Krishna. Now destiny is kind to me. Now all my sufferings will begin their journey to endless night." Navarinda says, "Fortunately, she is now beginning to recognize Krishna's arm." Radha, slightly opening her eyes, says, "This is strange. This snake, which has a head decorated with colorful jewels, refuses to bite me." Navarinda says, "O beautiful one, a coiled jeweled snake touched by the pure Malayan breeze is different from Krishna's arm, which is marked with the sign of Sudarshan chakra, decorated with a jewel and anointed with splendid sandalwood paste." Note, the ambiguity of the words chakra kitasha and nirmala malaya ja parishlinatnaha enables them to modify in different ways both Krishna Vujagasya and Krishna Vujajasya. Krishna says, "Beautiful one, why do you try to make the eyes of the entire world barren and useless by giving up this incomparably beautiful body, which frightens Goddess Lakshmi with its boundless sweetness?" Radha tilts her neck and gazes at Krishna. Then she says, "Alas, alas, I've died once, and I'm dying a second time. For the sake of this worthless person, you have thrown Lord Krishna, who delights the three worlds, into this lake of serpents." Arriving on the shore, Krishna places the jewel in Radha's hand and rebukes her with a smile of reproach. "Merciless girl, voluntarily and with great love, you offered many benedictions to these serpents. Why do you refuse to offer any benedictions to this one serpent who is passionately in love with you? Come, let us go to the pavilion of Madhavi vines." Accompanied by Pingala, they both exit. Accompanied by Purnamasi and other women and crying, Yashoda enters. Yashoda says, "Alas, alas, I am very unfortunate. Even though the cruel Kaliya serpent was defeated once, it has returned again to torment me." Navarvinda aside says, "My strategy to free Radha from the control of others is now successful." Openly, she says, "O noble ladies, please be comforted, please be comforted. Give up your unhappiness. Lord Krishna, who carries a flag marked with the insignia of Garuda, has rescued Satyabhama and carried her to the shore." Everyone's voices become choked and they say, "Well done, well done." They become very peaceful. A voice from behind the scene says, "There's the demigod Brahma, who was born from a lotus flower and who is the spiritual master of the three worlds. Following behind him is Lord Shiva, who is crowned with a crescent moon and who rides his powerful bull Nandi with goddess Parvati by his side. Shiva now enters Dwarka city to see Lord Krishna, the king of the Satvatas." Navarvinda says, "Look, look, Lord Krishna has come to please Parvati's husband Shiva." Observing Lord Krishna from a distance, everyone becomes happy. Purnamasi says, "Navarvinda, where's your dear friend Satyabhama?" Navarvinda says, "There, in the pavilion of jasmine flowers." Purnamasi says, "While Krishna is absent, let us quickly send Satyabhama to Kundina city." Mukura says, "I will go and bring her." She walks. Accompanied by Pingala, Radha enters. Radha says, "Ah, who is talking here?" Pingala says, "Queen Rukmini's relatives are speaking badly about you." Radha says, "Alas, I am not able even to die," and she covers her face and weeps. Mukur gazes at Radha from a distance, becomes struck with wonder, and then returns. Purnamasi says, "Mukura, why have you come back?" Mukura says, "Noble lady, there's something I wish to tell you, but I'm afraid to speak." Purnamasi says, "Bewildered woman, why should you be afraid? Tell me what is on your mind." Mukura says, "It is like this." And then she sheds tears and she whispers in her ear in a faltering voice. Purnamasi with contempt says, "O speaker of incoherent nonsense, be silent. Why does destiny treat you in this way?" Yashoda says, "O noble lady, what did she say?" Purnamasi says, "Queen of Gokula, it is impossible." Mukura again whispers in her ear. Purnamasi says, "Fool, I know. The Shaimantaka jewel has cast a spell on you and turned you into a fool." Mukura says, "Granddaughter Lalita, you come and look." Lalita glances at the face of Purnamasi. Purnamasi says, "Let us all go there. What is wrong with that?" Everyone walks. Purnamasi, going a little ahead of Lalita and Mukura, becomes suddenly filled with emotion and says, "How is that, even though I cannot clearly see her, this very beautiful girl awakens such compassion and wonder in my heart?" Lalita says, approaching and in a choked voice, "O slender girl, why are you crying?" Radha removes the edge of the sari from her face. She suddenly calls out, Oh, is this my dear friend Lalita? Oh, is this affectionate Purnamasi? Oh, is this noble Mukura?" Overcome with happiness, she falls on the ground. Lalita utters an inarticulate sound of joy, embraces Radha, and then faints in her happiness. Purnamasi says, Oh, is this my child Radha? She loudly weeps. Mukura says, "Granddaughter, I found you again." She becomes mad with happiness. Yashoda, accompanied by Rohini, runs there and says in a choked voice, "Oh child, you are alive." She then kisses her face. Chandravelli, trembling, says, "Is this my sister Radha?" She falls and embraces Radha's neck. Purnamasi says, "Ah, a crystal stream of pure drinking water has suddenly appeared before they who are dying of thirst in the desert." Radha offers respectful obeisances to everyone's feet and then eagerly says, "Is my sister Chandravelli well?" Chandravelli, tightly embracing her, says, "My sister, I am wicked, wretched Chandravelli." And then she cries. Radha, with bliss and reverence, falls at her feet and says, "Ah, ah, wretched fate is mocking me." Krishna enters and then joyfully says, "After such a long time, now again I can think of myself as a resident of Gokula. Now I am overcome with happiness." Yashoda, touching Krishna, says, "My son, it is very fortunate that you and this girl have both emerged from this lake of serpents unharmed." Navavrinda says, "Queen of Gokula, these snakes were an illusion created by magic." Everyone gently laughs and smiles. Lalita says, "Radha, where is Vishakha?" Navavrinda says, "Look, Vishakha is happily coming here from the river." All the women approach Vishakha and embrace her. Vishakha offers respectful obeisances to the feet of her superiors. She then embraces Radha. Lalita says, "Oh friend Vishakha, am I actually seeing you again?" And they tightly embrace each other. Chandravelli, aside to Purnamasi, says, "Noble lady, repeating my words, please beg my noble husband to accept the hand of my sister Radha." Purnamasi says, "My child, of all gentle, kind, and sincere girls, you are the best. Please listen. When you place Radha in Lord Krishna's hand, then your pure transcendental fame will be established eternally. At the wedding ceremony of Radha and Krishna, the shower of jewels and the ringing of bells proclaiming the auspiciousness of their love will delight the entire world." Chandravelli, jubilant, says, "Oh, noble lady, that is my desire also. You and Gokula's Queen Yashoda, please arrange that it be done." Purnamasi informs Yashoda. Yashoda says, "Son, child Chandravelli has something to ask you." Krishna says, "Mother, let it be. What desire of hers will I now fulfill?" Yashoda says, "It is something like that." And Krishna says, "As my mother orders." She comes close and whispers something in his ear. "My queen, this burden is very heavy. I cannot carry it. Please give me a different order." Chandravelli, with the anger of love, says, "In this situation, it is good for you to be timid." She takes Radha's hand. "O lotus-eyed Krishna, in front of all of us, please accept this girl, my sister, Radha, and please love her very dearly." She places Radha's hand in Krishna's. Krishna, in a soft voice, says, "My queen, what person would not yearn to attain your good wishes?" He reverentially accepts Radha. A voice from behind the scenes says, "Guided on the path by King Raivata, and his left hand placed in the hand of the king of Govardhan, the king of the Vindhya Hills, who heard the news from the mouth of Jambavan, now enters the city of Lord Krishna." Purnamasi says, "Look, look, holding Balaram's hand and accompanied by the heroes of the Vrishni dynasty, Maharaj Vasudev enters the extraordinary wedding arena. Attended by the beautiful ladies of the Yadu dynasty and with great respect bringing Revati with her, Queen Devaki also enters the arena." Navavrinda says, "Look, look, holding Bhadra's right hand and Saibya's left, eager Shama has come." A voice from behind the scenes says, "Now that, by cheerfully consenting to Krishna's marriage with Radha, Queen Rukmini has dissolved the restriction placed by her father, clever, smiling Garuda has entered with 16,100 unmarried girls." Yashoda says, "Ah, from all directions, destiny is suddenly very friendly." Purnamasi says, "Look, look, with Sridham at his right and Subal at his left, jubilant Nanda Maharaj enters." As described, Nanda enters. Nanda says, Noble Purnamasi, now that my long-cherished desire is fulfilled, I consider my life a complete success. Then he embraces Krishna. With Purnamasi between them, the two sisters offer respectful obeisances to Nanda, the king of the coward people. Nanda says, "Children, you are both devoted to Krishna and you both consider him more dear than your own life's breath. May you both be blessed with all good fortune." Purnamasi says, accompanied by many chaste women, Arundhati and the chaste Lopamudra meet on the path. Note, Arundhati is the wife of the sage Vashishta, and Lopamudra is the wife of the sage Agastya. Navarinda says, Indra, the king of the demigods, brings his wife Sachi, the daughter of Puloma. Shiva's friend Kuvera bringing his wife Riddhi, Surya's son Yamaraj bringing his wife Dhumurna, Varuna the king of waters bringing his wife Gauri, Surya bringing his wife Sangya, the daughter of Vishwakarma, Marut bringing his wife Shiva, Agni bringing his wife Swaha, and Chandra bringing his wife Rohini have all come to Dwarka. A voice from behind the scenes says, Kubja made many scented cosmetics. Happy at heart, the florist Sudama made many flower garlands. By making many beautiful garments, the tailor created a charming scene. Filled with people overcome with perfect happiness, the city of Dwarka has become very splendid and glorious. Lalita says, Vishakha, by seeing the reunion of the divine couple, your life is now all successful and all perfect. Purnamasi says, Son of Yashoda, we have all the ingredients for the Abhishek ceremony. Now the wedding arena may be decorated. Decorated first with Radha and then with the other girls one by one. Krishna welcomes everyone and then whispers to Radha, O Radha, queen of my life, ask a favor of me. What may I do to please you? Radha blissfully says in Sanskrit, In this forest of Vrindavan I have found my beautiful, charming, and affectionate gopi friends. I have found my sister Chandravali and all of her friends. I have obtained Yashoda Devi, the queen of Braj, as my mother-in-law, and I have also attained your company, which brings me the greatest happiness. What can be more pleasing to me than all these things? Still, please grant this one benediction. To those persons who reside in the profoundly sweet land of Vrindavan, and who, for a long time, yearn with a steady heart to someday attain you, please, O Master of Gokula, appear before their eyes as their youthful friend. O Lord who places the glistening flute to your handsome mouth, please also grant this benediction. In the district of Mathura, where the many forests bear the sweet fragrance of places where you enjoy pastimes, and which is all auspicious, splendid, and endowed with all kinds of sweetness, please always enjoy transcendental pastimes with us gopis, whose hearts are overcome with love for you. Krishna answers, Beloved, so be it. Radha says, How will that be? Krishna casts a concealed glance to the right. Note, in the preceding verse, Radha asked Krishna to enjoy pastimes with her in Mathura Vrindavan. Krishna immediately agreed. In this statement, Radha asks, We are now in Dwarka. How will we go to Vrindavan from here? Tossing aside the stage curtain, Ekanamsa hastily enters with Gargi. Ekanamsa, who is goddess Yogamaya, says, Friend Radha, do not doubt. At this moment you are standing in the beautiful and opulent abode of Gokula, Vrindavan, although by the power of time I arranged it in a different way. This truth you will be able to see directly within your heart. Please understand that you are in Vrindavan and your Krishna is standing by your side. Gargi aside says, Now the words I have heard from my father's mouth have borne fruit. Considering all of this, Radha is overcome with emotion. Gargi says, Friend, compose yourself, compose yourself. Radha composes herself and then stares at Krishna with crooked eyes. Krishna says, Beloved, what else may I do to please you? Radha smiles and says, Unseen by outsiders, let us both decorate this land of Gokula Vrindavan in our original transcendental forms. Krishna says, Beloved, so be it. Come, let us arrange that your sister Chandravali's request will not have been spoken in vain. Accompanied by everyone, they exit. The epilogue for this play, written by Srila Rupa Goswami, states, 1. In this play, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the hero. More handsome than Cupid, his transcendental pastimes make him the most charming and playful person. 2. This Lalita Madhava is filled with the 64 arts, with puns, with various literary ornaments, and with musical poetry. Those who are learned and intelligent will worship this Lalita Madhava. 3. In the Saka year 1459, that's AD 1537, in the month of Sukra, May-June, on Sunday, the 14th day of the moon, after offering my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna, I have completed this book in the forest of Bhadravan. 4. Standing on the shore in all directions, I freely sprinkle the nectar water of the stream of transcendental mellows. I pray the exalted devotees will forgive me.
Vaya vida.